lawmakers see the work of the 12-member supercommittee as the last best chance to get things done in the first session of this Congress. The floor activity has pretty much been at a standstill, especially in the Senate. And so the supercommittee, if it comes up with a deal, it will have fast-track status on the House floor and the Senate floor. So you have lawmakers seeing it as the best opportunity to get things done, even if some of their legislative wish list isn't directly related to reducing the budget deficit. A good example of that is Spencer Backus, the Republican chairman of the House Financial Services Committee. He has recommended to the panel to reduce the regulatory burden imposed by Dodd-Frank, and that's been a longstanding priority of the Republicans to wipe parts of Dodd-Frank off the books. And Spencer Backus in the House is taking this opportunity to ask the supercommittee to do just that, arguing that by easing the regulatory burden, it would help reduce the deficit. But what your listeners are probably more interested in is the recommendations for the for federal workforce reform. And Daryl Issa, the chairman of the House Committee on Oversight and Government Reform, he has proposed cuts that would save $375 billion over 10 years by bringing, as he says, public sector pay and benefits more in line with the private sector. So ISA is looking at making substantial cuts to federal workforce spending through reforms. Specifically, he wants to enact a true pay freeze through 2015 that would prohibit non-performance-based periodic step increases. He would require federal employees to contribute more to their retirement plan. He would reduce the taxpayer subsidy of the federal employment retirement system and reduce, by no later than 2014, the size of the federal workforce by 10%. And he would achieve that reduction by replacing every three departing workers with only one new employee.
How much momentum does this have behind it on the Hill?
Well, are you asking about ISIS proposals, or are you asking about the...
Particularly the ones that impact the federal workforce and the freezes.
Well, there's not a whole lot of discussion about it, but ISA, as chairman of an important House committee with direct jurisdiction over this, I mean, he has a fair amount of say. And these proposals, as he notes, were included in the Simpson-Bowles Commission, and that's the Fiscal Responsibility Commission put together by President Obama. ISA notes that the House Republican budget also included significant reductions in spending on the federal workforce. So ISA's views are I think pretty well represented in the House Republican leadership, and they are an important negotiator at the table here. And the fact that Simpson-Bowles included some of his proposals, that bolsters his argument. Now, on the other hand, an important figure here is Chris Van Hollen, who represents Montgomery County in southern Maryland, and that there are a lot of federal employees who live in Montgomery County, as you know, and he's a member of the supercommittee. He's one of the 12, so he's gonna have a very important role to play to defend his constituents from these cuts that ICE is pushing. So the Republicans are pretty much behind ISA, I think it's fair to say, at least on the House side. On the Senate side, Democrats, they control the chamber. They're not crazy about these ideas. And perhaps the people who don't want to see these big cuts to the federal workforce spending, Chris Van Hollen is the guy who's going to have to defend their interests inside that secretive supercommittee.
We're speaking with Alexander Bolton, a reporter with the Hill newspaper. So the committee can take any recommendation that comes to it from either side and either put it in their proposals or throw it in the trash, basically.
That's right. And there are 12 members. They just need seven votes, seven of the 12, just over half, to get a proposal to the Senate and House floors. If that happens, it's highly likely that the legislation would pass, because the law setting up the supercommittee and this deficit reduction process puts together a fast track. So usually to get something passed through the Senate, you need 60 votes. Well, not in this instance. You'd only need a simple majority. And whatever the whatever deficit reduction package the supercommittee comes up with, it would not be subject to the usual points of order that are used to often derail legislation on the Senate floor. So, if you can get a bipartisan agreement out of that committee, it's going to be very tough to stop it in either the Senate or the House.
Okay, so what is it Fed should be watching for as this makes its way on Capitol Hill?
Well, that's the tricky thing here. There's not much to watch for. I mean, the members of the supercommittee, they have lowered the cone of silence. They have pledged to each other not to talk at all about deliberations within the committee, and they've done a very good job of keeping leaks to a minimum. So until they come out with their proposal, it's going to be very tough to know exactly what's happening within this committee. On Friday, October 14th, that was the deadline for committees to get their recommendations to the supercommittee. So ISA and some of the other chairmen, they put together recommendations and sent those along, and those were public. But that's one of the few parts of this negotiation that have actually been public. And it's kind of a stretch to even say that these recommendations are parts of the negotiation. We have no idea. They may be taken seriously. They may be taken to the trash. We don't know what's going to happen with the recommendations. And the recommendations have been so diverse, coming from Democrats and Republicans, not all of them certainly are going to be included. So, it's hard to know whether ICE's proposals will gain any traction or not.